We present The Sound of Football.
And on this week's special episode, we go off topic by looking at England's prospects at the 2010 World Cup. Should John Terry remain as England captain? Just who should be England's first choice goalkeeper? And would it help if we had at least one decent right back? All that and plenty more besides on this week's Sound of Football.
And it's a very warm welcome to episode 25 of The Sound of Football. A special edition in more ways than one, not just because it's the 25th, but because just for once we're all in the same room together. Who'd have thought it would ever happen? Who'd have thought we'd live so long? It's Chris Oakley here, together with Terry DeFallon and Graham Sibley from Some People on the Pitch and The Onion Bag. Gents, welcome.
Well, hello, it's my house. So, welcome to my house.
Should I go out and come back in again? I tell you what, all back to my place. So here we are then, we're all in the same room, and because it's a special edition, we thought we'd go somewhat off topic today by not talking about the Premier League and such things, but by talking about the England team. We're now into 2010, the World Cup is on the horizon, so let's put some heat under the World Cup and talk about what we've got to look forward to in regards to England's involvement in said competition. We're going to start off with a man who's once again back in the headlines, as is his wont every so often, John Terry. And, of course, he is, as we know, the England captain. But we have to wonder for how much longer, given the fact that he's now stumbled into another crisis. You've probably seen the headlines in one or two papers and the various back story for that. Well, who wants to start on this one?
I think Terry, you can start.
Can I? Okay.
The issue, I guess, is should he? I know we were way off the World Cup thus far, but should he be captain, or is he just too troublesome to be thinking about? Is there a better candidate for being the captain?
Well, what is involved in being the captain of England? I mean, if it's just being a leader on the pitch, and then obviously being the chap who has the honour of lifting the World Cup for England when we win in 2010, which of course is
another prospect entirely.
Yeah, absolutely. What's the big deal? I mean, if he's misbehaving, he's a footballer. Mm-hmm. If he's a good leader on the pitch, then that's fine. Presumably, that's fine. He can just carry on being captain. The thing is, being England captain is more than just being a leader on the pitch, isn't it?
Yes.
Being England captain, David Beckham exploited his England captaincy to great effect. He made great deal of money off the back of being England captain. It was what he wanted to do, and he was very good at it. And John Terry has done the same thing as well. He said, well, I'm England captain. And that. So I would have to say that, no, I don't think he should be England captain. This isn't because I disagree with his infidelity. I'm not really concerned about his infidelity. I am concerned about the fact that he feels that he's above the law. This concerns me greatly. And I think people like that shouldn't be rewarded. And I think people like that should actually be punished. And I think you could start by taking the England captaincy away from him. I don't think he should be dropped from playing. But either that, or he should have the honours and responsibilities of England captaincy savagely curtailed so that he doesn't end up having to exploit his position, which of course he'll probably have a great deal of difficulty doing.
So we take the captaincy away from him, Graham. Who do we give it to?
Well, therein lies the rub, isn't it, really? I think it's with England at the moment, you don't see a lot of natural leaders. I suppose the natural choice after John Terry is Stephen Gerrard, or maybe even Frank Lampard.
To
be England captain. Probably out of the two, seeing as Steve Gerrard was overlooked last time, I would say overlook him again and give it to Lamps, actually.
What qualities do you look for in an England captain? I mean, we talk about like a leader on the pitch. I personally speaking, the one thing I always look for in a good captain of any football team is someone who is a bit vocal, shall we say, and who can basically give instructions out to his fellow team members to get them organised on the pitch. And it's amazing, actually, how many captains you see who seem to be very passive, generally, or at least that's the impression that you get if you're watching a match on TV. I know you don't get to sort of see everyone throughout the whole of the game at any one given time. But there have been a few sort of captains in the past of the England team who sort of lack that vocal leadership.
I suppose really when you looked at Beckham's captaincy, it was more a question of leading by example and actually being the hardest working man on the pitch.
Yes, exactly.
Rather than being the person who shouts at everyone and
barks orders and
barks orders around. And I think that's certainly something that hopefully it might even improve Lampard's game for England to make it, if that was the way that you'd say, right, okay, well, you're going to be the captain, you're going to be the main man, this is the way we're going to do it. But also as well, I think he's probably more likely to be as Terry was saying earlier, the more important side of England captain is off the field, being the ambassadorial role. And I think perhaps someone like him is more is better equipped. And let's not forget that Steve Gerrard has also had his problems off the field as well.
No stranger to controversy.
himself.
Appalling taste in music and a fervent desire to inflict his appalling taste in music on other people.
Certainly
from an ambassadorial point of view, you'd have to say John Terry just isn't really the main man now, is he? He's just not a good choice, because there is so much else involved, especially with the build up to the 2018 bid for England. Is he the kind of man that you want to wheel out as England captain to boost? I mean, maybe it's sort of it's all a bit sort of too far down the line as regards that sort of thing now. But
Who are the mainstays in?
Well, Rooney as well.
You've got to look at Rooney.
Yeah,
as Rooney, a potential captain.
Rooney is a potential captain. Obviously, probably the best player on the pitch.
Yes. Almost certainly, the best player on England's
first name on the team sheet.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of arguments to say.
A very determined player. Very
trouble is you go through the first choice England team, and there is a lot of damaged goods there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of players who you think, if we're going to take it away from JT, who are we going to give it to?
Yeah, which reprobate are we going to line up to give it to?
frying pan and flyers.
Who do you think then, Chris?
Well, I mean, just without wishing to duck the issue, I was just going to lead on from that. Is like, what is your preference in terms of the position? What position should a captain play? Because there are those that say, should be a midfielder, slap bang in the middle of the pitch. There's some that say it should be the goalkeeper because he can see exactly everything ahead of him going on. Do either of you have a preference? Because for me, I don't know, I have a problem with goalkeepers as being a...
I do. I don't think they know enough about the game.
No, and let alone goalkeeping. So that's one thing. And I mean, I'm sure we'll at some point come on to the choice of goalkeepers that England have. So we'll kind of move that to one side. I mean, I personally think it should be someone in the middle of the pitch.
Yeah.
Similarly, someone up front.
Selfish.
Well, and as well as that, once the opposing team gets possession and then counter-attacks, more often than not, the attacker ends up stuck up at the wrong end of the pitch, at the wrong end from where the action is now happening. So,
I don't think it's a big deal at all.
As I say, it's more of a big deal about off the pitch and also about how the way the England team is perceived. I think you're always going to have leaders on the pitch, and they may or may not be captain, but I think though it is such a high profile role, England captain, and it does have benefits.
It's almost become a political role.
It is a political role, isn't
and,
it? Really?
And then you do have to ask whether John Terry should be in that that quite sensitive political role.
Yeah.
I mean, it's difficult to square his behaviour off with, no doubt, some of the initiatives that the FA will be asking him to take part in. Mm. I mean, he's supposed to be an ambassador, a spokesman for the Respect campaign, but...
Yeah.
You know, so you're back to the same problem. I mean, Beckham, to an extent, Beckham has defined the England captain role, had defined the more off-field, more political aspects, more ambassadorial.
Especially in modern celebrity age.
Indeed, because he reckons that's a position he's happy to play. Mm. The problem is that now that he's no longer captain, is it that the next person has to then shoulder those responsibilities? Mm, yeah. So perhaps we need to, rather than necessarily get rid of John Terry as captain, perhaps we should re-examine the role as captain, not now, but perhaps the FA rather should then re-examine the role of England captain and perhaps you know, cut back on certain duties and responsibilities therein, and indeed benefits.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the role of captain, I mean, you're presumably looking for someone who's A, experienced, and B, has a very kind of even temper and very sort of stable personality, shall we say. So, I mean, Lampard would appear to fit the bill, but that's just me sort of throwing one suggestion into the hat.
Yeah.
But going back to David Beckham, we mentioned him a moment ago. He's pretty much back in the on the England scene, although you know, still from time to time coming on as a substitute and whatever. But looking like he's possibly even going to be used as a starting player, do we think, in future England matches? Do you think he'll be chosen from the off? Is he that good?
Well, I mean, the options down the right for England are Lennon, who's crocked, Walcott, who is out of form.
Yeah.
Very much out of form at the moment.
Wright Phillips.
Yeah, inconsistent.
Yeah, Tony Daly. really runs a lot, but I think Wright Phillips forgets the ball too often for my money. But he does have tremendous pace,
and potential.
Beckham has no pace. Beckham goes backwards.
Of course, there are people like James Milner that play that can play wide right, and would be one of the I'd say form players going at the moment, and certainly high up on the list when you're putting names down for who should be in the squad.
At the moment,
needs more match experience for the England team, doesn't he? Or stacks of match experience at under 21 level.
Well, record holding experience.
Yep. And experienced tournament football player as a consequence of being such an experienced under 21 player, because he'll have played in the major under 21 tournaments. So. Yeah,
might I
and
suggest
a good
that
player as well.
Also, is Steven Gerrard, who played a lot of his early career and made his name on the right, and went into the middle because David Beckham was on the right for England.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, and then moved back out to the right under McLaren as well.
Yeah.
Because of this whole sort of issue with Lampard and Gerrard, which seems to have gone away, interestingly.
Ever since we started winning.
You can't play him in second
manager,
So, I mean,
Going back to Milner, I mean, would it not be a good time to start playing him then to give him the experience, as if he needs... Obviously, we touched on the fact that he's got good tournament experience from under 21 level. Surely now Fabio's got to start picking him a bit more often to get, you know, starting.
Well, him and there's Young as well. Young, where does he play?
He plays on the right, usually on the left, isn't he?
On the left.
So I think as well, it also depends on what sort of formation England are going to play. I mean, we're thinking England are going to play a 4-4-2. Are they going to play a 4-5-1 with the attacking options England have? Would they be more likely to play two more very attack minded midfielders instead?
Thus far, it's 4-4-2 with Rooney and Heskey.
Yeah,
and this is not just a very English way of playing football; it's actually a very Italian way of playing football.
Yeah.
The Italians also love the big centre forward, who may not necessarily score you that many goals, but create enough havoc for you for your better players. In this case, Rooney. To provide him with the space. Interestingly, however, for Manchester United, Rooney is playing
in that
position himself and scoring goals.
Yeah.
So Capello maybe we should play more midfielders Rooney up front on his
or
own.
Or may think, yes, I can play Rooney and I can put Defoe on at the same time.
Which, hitherto, in my mind, was an impossibility. Because it negated both. You needed Heskey, but if Rooney is going to be kicked and score, then he's a super player. He's a superman. But my concern is at the World Cup is that it's too dangerous a strategy, because if he either sustains an injury or if he simply doesn't deal with the intensity of the competition and the quality of the defenders, then
they'll suddenly find your own switch to a different formation, and
you're suddenly rushing Heskey in and you're asking Rooney to then play, and if he's shot or if he's burnt or something like that, then you know, well, it's not a good thing. I mean, you have to acknowledge that you do have to change strategies during a tournament in 1990 we changed strategy during the tournament, and we got to the semi-final, and it's what got us there.
Yes. Well, that's undoubtedly a key thing. The tactical flexibility, shall we say, of Fabio Capello.
So, who would be your front two then, Chris? Who would you put up with?
Well, I probably in the past, I think even on a previous podcast, suggested probably I think it was Defoe at the time that was in good form, and suggested I wasn't so keen on Heskey. But then I've been converted by you both since, and have certainly taken on board the opinions of other people since. So. You have got that diversity, if you like, in terms of the playing styles, the sort of almost the sort of support role that Heskey plays. I think Crouch, there's room for Crouch to be played perhaps up front with Defoe. And of course, you've got the familiarity between the two of them at club level as well.
Mm.
Something that can be said for that. Although
they're certainly worth being there, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean,
he's not starting, but
I know sort of Crouch. Some people sort of say Crouch has his sort of hot and cold sort of spells or whatever, but I just think you've got that option if you need it as well, using the height of Crouch, and the pace of Defoe is just a good contrast, really. So I'd throw that in as a suggestion for a front two lineup to use.
Mm. What about the likes of people like Darren Bent and Carlton Cole?
Darren Bent's undoubtedly on good form at the moment, and I'm very much in favour of using form players. Yeah. Of course, no one knows what the form's going to be directly before a World Cup. But Darren Bent, I think, has scored enough goals this season already to sort of show that he's worth consideration. Carlton Cole, I don't know how many attackers is Capello going to take with him if it's going to be four. I suspect that he'll consider himself lucky to be the fourth one included. Really, if he's on good form, fine. I mean, we haven't seen a lot of Carlton Cole recently due to injury, so I don't know. I'm inclined to think there are other slightly better options than Cole, but that's to sort of perhaps undervalue him somewhat.
And of course, the million-dollar question, Michael Owen.
Oh, Michael Owen, I've now just no. I think I've spoken on another rival podcast. I'm really ashamed to say, many weeks ago that was, where I was asked the same thing. Yeah, what do I think about Michael Owen? And at the time, he was probably still in reasonable form to the point where I was saying, yes, take him along as a squad member, because he's got the experience, he can still score, and so on and so forth. Unfortunately, since then, of course, as we all know, Owen's form and the number of goals he scored have similarly diminished. So I'm now not so sure. And again, you talk about only a limited number of places in the squad for strikers. I'm not so sure about Owen now.
But your front two, though. Who's your front two? Your first two? You've got to pick a front two to play USA in the World Cup. Who's it going to be?
I would fundamentally go with Rooney and Heskey, I think.
Rooney and Heskey.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I have been converted somewhat with Heskey. It's not to say I thought he was a rubbish player before, but I perhaps didn't realise quite what a key role he played in the team. So,
what about you? What would you do? Who would you play?
I'd like to give Rooney and Defoe a go, just because.
Really?
Yeah, just because of the way that Rooney's been playing at club level.
Right.
Just to see if it would cause more damage if you've got someone of pace, more pace up there as well, frightening the defence. I'd say try that and see, especially against the not so strong teams. The ones that aren't going to just go out there and kick lumps out of.
I think against someone like Algeria, that would pay dividends. Certainly, I think they seem a little bit sort of sleepy in many areas of the pitch.
Yeah, I think it's more of a case of a question that at the level of international, the most of the games that England will be playing, they'll be playing defences that won't be having overlapping fullbacks, so we're not going to get a lot of crosses coming in, I don't think. And so we're going to have to really sort of play our way through defences. And I think if you've got someone who's quick and got an eye for goal like Defoe, I'd start with him. What about you,
Terry?
I think I'm still erring on the side of the current system, which is Rooney with Heskey,
right?
For the reasons that I stated before, I think I think that that's a reliable and trustworthy partnership. And I think that we perhaps have areas elsewhere in the pitch where, if we've got a front two that clearly work well together, then to do that. But I am attracted by your idea of maybe moving Rooney, shifting Rooney's role to that more sort of like senior, larger centre forward, and having a zippy little chappy running around him. And maybe I think there's tremendous value in seeing what happens maybe against Mexico, seeing how we do that when we play Mexico
in the upcoming friendly. I mean, the one thing that I'm thinking is that your suggestion, Graham, of having effectively two small, pacey forward men, there's perhaps a bit more flexibility in that, so that if you do lose one of them, say to injury or whatever, that there are more candidates that you could say slot in, that could even people that have got other skills that they're normally used elsewhere in the pitch. So like a, I don't know, even a, dare I say, not that you would probably, but someone like a Joe Cole or a Sean Wright Phillips who can score goals and are quick and of that stature.
Ashley Young, perhaps.
Oh, actually, yeah, you could, if you lose one of them, you can slip someone in from another squad member, but I don't know what...
Joe Cole. What's going on there? I mean, this is one of England's best players, isn't it?
It is, probably, yes.
Contract's up at the end of the season at Chelsea. He's been injured, isn't he? He doesn't appear to be anywhere near the squad at the moment. But
He's starting to get a few appearances now.
I mean, he's coming back in. But, I mean, Joe Cole is a potential World Cup winner.
Yeah.
I mean, he is.
Well, I mean, I think it showed up when Fabio's first games when what his reputation is
overseas. Certainly in Spain, they think he's. Yeah. They think we're crazy not to build the entire team around him.
Yeah, and which is what Capello did on the first couple of games when he
played. Yeah, and unfortunately it didn't work though, did it?
We were abject in those games. Yeah.
But he must have a role to play. The problem is that we've said this before about Joe Cole, there are concerns that perhaps tactically he's not terribly sort of like together, and maybe he's not too good at following instructions. So maybe he does have to have a slightly more peripheral role on the pitch. Whereas if he had a stronger tactical brain, then he would be. You would want him to get a lot more involved. In the play.
Be the centre of around.
If you had Beckham's brain, inside that body of his, he would be one of the best players in the world. I don't have any doubt about it.
It is ironic, isn't it, that these creative
players...
I'm not
saying he's thick or anything, but I guess I am. So. I don't mean to.
It is ironic that these creative players that we churn out every so often in the England team end up basically on the periphery of the team, don't they? It's almost like nobody knows where to play them or what to do with them, really. But there we are, but... Sorry, Tony, were you
I could go on about Joe Cole all night, and then we should probably stop. So and move on. Sorry.
So, I mean, do we have a defined midfield four now in England? I mean,
I don't think we do at the moment. I mean, in my mind, we don't, because again, Joe Cole is the other factor. I want to see him back.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to see Walcott back.
Yeah.
I want to see Walcott back and on form. I mean, we're talking. We've got Walcott playing well. Now we're talking. But I don't know whether that's going to happen or not.
And are you still going to be playing Gerrard and Lampard together in midfield, or do we have to have
Barry,
a holding player? Do we have to? Do we have Barry in there? Do we have Barry on the left?
I think realistically, we have Barry probably playing on one of the flanks, and with Gerrard and Lampard, and maybe a holding midfielder. I don't know whether or not if we have two wingers, then we've got we're looking at anyone from Wright Phillips, Joe Cole, and this is either side of the
Ashley Young,
Jimmy Milner. There's a load of players that we can choose from, so we pick the ones like Theo Walcott if he can get back to fitness, and then we have to make a decision about Lampard, Gerrard and Barry and what to put in there. But I would imagine that Capello will probably go for Lampard and Gerrard in the middle, and then they'll play two.
I think what comes out most of this is that the fact is that we have an embarrassment of riches in the midfield.
Yeah, but so they're all good players.
All good players, and so some people are going to have to be disappointed, and some people that we've named just there may not even be on the plane.
It's the same actually, even that we've lost Aaron Lennon. Because he was ideally suited to playing on the wing, but
in the brief moment that he did have in the last World Cup,
yeah,
he was genuine. He was a genuine threat, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Against Portugal, he was superb, and it
shows at international level still how devastating true pace actually is. And I think it's something that's often
especially
forgotten.
Especially in extra time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Extra time and legs.
You throw it on there.
Which will inevitably come, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, this is, I guess, really one possible scenario is that we've got, it's the quarterfinals. We're in extra time. It's deadlocked, and we've got Young, or we've got not Lennon now, but we've got some quick guys on the bench, and we bring them on, and we pulverise their fullbacks and win the game. That's the idea, anyway.
Despite all this strength in midfield, you can't help the feeling that right at the back, in goalkeeper and defence, it's looking really worrying, isn't it?
I'll say yes. I mean, the options we've got. I mean, let's breach this whole goalkeeper thing. Let's see if we can kind of get to the bottom of this once and for all. I don't know how much time we've got left, but we'll have a look at it.
How are we doing for time?
Fine.
Okay.
The choices of goalkeeper, I'm not sure we're actually going to come to a solution right here and now, but the choices seem to be, and please don't snigger, I'm just really relating the facts. David James, Rob Green, Joe Hart, Scott Carson, maybe Chris Kirkland, I'm guessing.
Sorry.
And how does that make us feel? Does it fill us with fear and dread?
Well, so much confidence, really, isn't it?
No. I mean, going back to picking form players, at the moment, I would proffer that it's Joe Hart that's doing really well.
Certainly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Certainly.
But he hasn't played for England.
No, that's exactly what I was just going to say. He lacks the international experience, and one never knows whether, especially in a key position like goalkeeper, whether the player's just going to crack under the pressure.
Like Scott Carson did.
Exactly.
Mm. He did leave Paul Robinson off that.
I do apologise. So Paul Robinson.
Well, I think it was interesting that obviously he's been out of the England reckoning for some time now. I've
seen too much from Paul Robinson. That's the problem. I've got a long memory.
Yeah.
And some of the things I've seen him do are on a par with what David James has done, and...
But David James is still in the side, and he's still on the...
But he hasn't played a lot recently, has he?
Yeah, no, he hasn't played.
So, I mean, you know...
Well, it's Rob Green's to lose at the moment, I think.
Yeah, and
Joe Hart's to win.
Yes.
One or two of Rob Green's recent performances haven't exactly filled me with confidence, and up until now, and not just because I'm a West Ham fan, but he has been my main candidate. I think he has been the most consistent and the least... clangersome, if I can just use that word on the fly.
That's a good word.
Of all of them, but I'm not so sure now. But it's just, I guess we're going to have to see how Joe Hart does going through, and whether I think maybe the key thing here is that Capello needs to start trying out Joe Hart in one or two friendlies. You're not going to get the full blown World Cup experience in a friendly, but it might be a good opportunity to try him out and see how he does. Because if his form continues to the end of the season, then I'm saying maybe he gets the shout. And if it all goes horribly wrong and he lets in six against whoever we're playing in the first game, then
well, then we'll know, won't we?
Then we'll know. But the point is, hopefully we'll know before then. Your thoughts are,
I'm with you. I think Green but let's give Hart
Green
a go
and see what
happens. But that probably to deal with our goalkeeping situation, I would suggest centre half situation is perilous.
Yes,
John Terry obviously is John Terry, and you know, super. What are they called again? Super injunctions notwithstanding, you know, he'll be there, and assuming that he's fit and everything's fine, he'll do what John Terry does.
Yeah,
I find him quite a basic centre half, but you know, a very brave and committed. And won't disgrace himself at all. I think he'll be fine.
Hmm.
His partner is Rio Ferdinand, but Rio Ferdinand has had injury problems.
Next to no playing time in recent.
And there are concerns that he may be shot.
Yeah,
Let's be blunt. There are concerns that it could be. Now we don't know. Let's not be hasty and let's not make any judgment. But. Maybe he needs to have 8 months off. Yeah, maybe he does. Maybe he needs to sort of like forget to turn up for another drug test and then take a holiday for 8 months.
Mm.
But there are big concerns about that. Now, if Rio is fine, then England at the back should be fine. Terry and Ferdinand are our two. But the thing is that we're committed to those two now.
Yeah.
And if there's a problem with that, there's no one else waiting in the wings to take their place.
Not really.
Lescott's not good enough.
No.
Upson's not good enough.
No.
Cahill and Shawcross aren't ready.
Yeah.
Dawson is not ready slash not good enough.
The two injured. King, two injured.
Forget it. Yeah. We're getting King, no.
Yeah.
No, they're not.
Jagielka.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. If when he's not back yet.
He's still not back yet, no.
So probably not.
I suspect Upson's more likely to most like, I'm not favouring West Ham players, but in terms of reason
he is more likely than anyone else, and that's shocking, yeah, really. Because then you look at people like Wes Brown as well.
If I'm honest, I'd rather
if Wes Brown's on that plane. I mean
yeah. I mean Lescott might improve, might become more confident, and might show the kind of form that he showed at Everton.
Yeah.
I would still argue that no.
But I think there is as much chance as Michael Richards turning around and
being on the plane. Yeah. I mean, so that's a massive problem for us. We're really, really
It is worrying how English centre-halves don't seem to be developing, or they seem to be getting to a certain level and then going back down again.
I think we can look at Shawcross and Cahill and we can say that those guys are... I could make a prediction now and say that they will be our two centre-halves in Euro 2012.
Mm. Right, yeah.
But, although, you know, a lot's got to happen between now and then. No, they could both break their legs tomorrow. Yeah, so, I mean, you don't know.
Certainly.
But at this precise moment,
yeah,
our two centre-halves are John Terry and Rio Ferdinand.
Yeah.
And there are question marks over both of them.
Mm.
Hopefully, it'll be fine.
Mm. Yeah, if they can play half a dozen games in the summer, then we won't be worrying about it.
It's not a problem. Yeah,
The fullbacks, I don't think, is too much of an issue. I mean, left back, we've got Ashley Cole, and we've got Wayne Bridges cover. So I don't think there is any problem there. Well, any dispute between Wayne Bridge and John Terry, notwithstanding.
I'm just saying, if we lose John Terry, then we just get Russell Brand in and have done with it. I mean, he's got a similar record. <running, doesn't he? laughs> Yeah, what's there to lose, quite honestly? And another West Ham connection. So I mean, yes.
No. John Terry might end up pulling Katy Perry, though. So.
God.
But at fullback, it's Glenn Johnson and...
Well...
Who do we have as cover there?
Luke Young, I suppose.
Mm, if he's...
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if he plays.
Yeah. So England then really looked like... Yeah, we're fine in certain positions. And
not in others.
Yeah.
A brief word about the exhaustion issue, the way things are going. I mean, we've got players like Rooney who are pretty much starting every game under the sun, you know, hectic European campaigns and so on. Are we likely to run into the same situations we've had in previous World Cups, you know, that we're likely to have sluggish, lethargic players on the pitch?
I think it's a real possibility.
I think that is the case.
But I don't think it will be just us who'll have that problem, though. I think Spain are going to have that problem. I think because Liverpool are going to run Torres and Gerrard ragged because they're holding up that team.
That's all the word got.
And they're going to be playing until the very last minute
Yeah.
of the very last game of the season.
Yeah.
Right at full tilt. And really what we want them to be doing now is we want them to be starting to take it easy.
Mm. Yeah.
So that, I mean, so certainly we want Gerrard to be starting to take it easy.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's the same also with Manchester United, because Rooney has taken the leadership role and has said, "Look, I'm running this team. I'm going to get all the goals here, and I'm going to drag Manchester." And it's great what he's doing, but for England, it's not great because he's going to be run ragged.
Somebody on another podcast recently sort of said that Rooney not being in the FA Cup final this year will mean that he probably gets a week off, which I thought was tremendously short-sighted, because it potentially could end up in the Champions League final, in which case he won't get a week's break or an extra week's break between the end of the domestic season and the start of the World Cup.
Right, yes.
And I just don't think that he's going to get enough, him in particular, isn't going to get enough of a break. There we are. Well, there we are, a preliminary survey, if you like, of the current state of the England team, what we've got to look forward to. Just to give you a heads up, the Euro 2012 qualifying draw is coming up in a couple of weekends' time, I think I'm right.
As is next weekend. Next weekend. The 7th of February.
So we'll certainly be keeping our eye open on who England gets on that. We'll be reporting that back to you on the Sound Football podcast. But for now, that's the end of show 25. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you very much indeed for your company, and thanks, Graham, for allowing us all to, you know, join you in your humble abode.
Yeah, welcome, Graham. I mean, sorry, thanks.
Sorry, yes, no, get out of my house. Oh, it's your house. For now, everyone, thank you very much, and goodbye.
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 And now it's time for Soccer Jens.
Hello. I have a lovely new pair of glasses. No, you may not have them back. Goodbye.
Tune in next week for another exciting episode of Soccer Jens.